Greetings, film pals. I bid you welcome to the Cinematic Crypt, a motion picture podcast hosted by Movie John's old sport and classic corner, Rosalie Kicks, otherwise known as Betzina Belfry. Each episode, I travel 6 feet under and pry open a coffin of one of my favorite Hollywood corpses and perform a post-watch examination of one of their forgotten films. Lend me your ears and listen along as I summon the spirits of Hollywood's dearly departed and uncover your next favorite film from the grave. Before we descend into the crypt, I will begin with reading my obituary. A notice of what I have been up to since we last spent time together. Creepies. After today's trip to the graveyard, I will be taking a brief hiatus and am hopeful to return to the cemetery this summer. If you follow my dispatches within my newsletter, Sunday Matinee, you may have read about my challenges with learning how to be my own boss. Since leaving behind 17 years of corporate drudgery and spending 31 of my working years on this planet being told what to do, I have struggled a bit with my time management. I want the Cinematic Crypt to be a priority, but it often ends up last on my task list, which is cause for much fret and despair. I do not appreciate the feeling of being late or rushed. I also never want to share an episode that I do not find is up to snuff. In taking the role of being my own boss, I am learning that when there is a problem, there is only one person that is able to fix it. Me. I call the shots, which is why I decided that I am going to shut myself in the crypt alone for the next few months to pursue personal writing projects and, most importantly, bank some damn episodes. This way, my creepies, I not only won't be a disappointment to you, but I won't upset myself when I am unable to deliver a corpse on time. Until my return, please check out the back catalog of Cinematic Crypt, and don't be a stranger. Reach out to me via email at cinematiccrypt@gmail.com. I always write back and will include a personalized epitaph. Mwah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show. Once again, thank you for coming to our theater tonight. Have an enjoyable evening. The refreshment stand will remain open for a short time. Still plenty of time to get a snack or cold drink. We'll make an announcement before the stand closes to give you plenty of time to get that last-minute treat.
And now our feature presentation.
All right, film pals. Time to grab your cape and get uncomfortable. It is time for our regularly scheduled spooky program. Follow me, but watch your step as you descend down to the cinematic crypt. Today marks the third and final episode in my series, Preacher Creatures. Sermons, prophecies, and blasphemous heresy that will have you singing, "Holy moly, that damn preacher is a creature." Join me, creepies, in the cinematic crypt for a hellaciously grand, blessed time as we uncover preachers who might quite possibly be creatures. They may appear to follow the good book, but OMG, they will not be going to a good place. Creepies, I welcome you to the crypt, a place of cinematic worship. Today we pay respects to Preacher Creature, Sister Amy Semple McPherson, in the 1976 television motion picture, The Disappearance of Amy, starring Faye Dunaway, James Sloan, and our corpse of interest, Bette Davis.
It was in the mid-1920s. A woman flashed across the consciousness of millions, a startling, erratic comet, successfully competing for headlines with bootleggers, flagpole sitters, the Scopes Monkey Trial. Also competing with the brilliant personalities of the sports world. The glitter of Hollywood. Valentino, Chaplin, Sennett and his famous bathing beauties, and many more. She inspired the most impassioned belief, the most acid skepticism. Legally, she was Amy Semple McPherson, but to the world, she was Amy, or Sister Amy. Amy was inspirational. Amy was unpredictable. Amy was news.
The opening of this movie is in black and white, representing the past, with title cards that state the following. Evangelist Amy preaches to thousands nightly. Amy takes to the airwaves to spread gospel. I won't wait for the wings of an angel, declares pioneering Amy. These title cards have clips intercut in between them, and the motion picture quickly transitions from black and white to color. It was the year 1926, and the famed evangelist Amy Semple McPherson goes missing without a trace. For weeks, her parishioners search the land far and wide, trying to solve the mystery of her disappearance. It was about 6 weeks later when she resurfaced, with claims of being kidnapped and held for ransom in Mexico. There was even a supposed ransom note, complete with a lock of Amy's hair. And if you read the recent issue of Movie John, the winter 2024 issue featuring cinematic letters, you would have stumbled upon my article, How to Write a Ransom Note, in which I declare that sending a lock of hair with your note truly means business. Crypt dwellers, you may recall Sister Amy from episode 40 when I uncovered the 1931 motion picture, The Miracle Woman, starring Barbara Stanwyck and David Manners. Barbara played Preacher Creature, Florence Faith Fallon, a role which was believed to be heavily influenced by Sister Amy. Creepies, sadly, the picture we will be discussing today is not nearly as good as The Miracle Woman, at least in my opinion. However, for those of us that pride ourselves on being completists, I don't believe you will find The Disappearance of Amy to be a total waste of your time. It may just not be the best use of it. Within the hour and 41-minute runtime of the made-for-television film, it attempts to make the disappearance tale one of excitement by utilizing a story device as old as time, the courtroom drama. The film itself was directed by Anthony Harvey, who was more notably known for his work as a film editor on such motion pictures as 1962's Lolita and 1964's Dr. Strangelove or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb. Despite The Disappearance of Amy not being my particular cup of tea, creepies, I did find the performances to be riveting. Faye Dunaway truly emulates Preacher Creature Sister Amy, while Bette Davis gives an incredible portrayal as Amy's mother, Minnie Kennedy. Honestly, though, I'm not surprised by Betty's performance. By 1976, and Ace's portrayal from Miss Davis was more than expected. She was a professional, and without a doubt, one of the best actors to ever grace the silver screen. Which brings me to one of the main points I'd like to discuss during this episode. I wanted to focus more on the lore of not only Amy's actual disappearance, but on the behind-the-scenes escapades as well. Take, for example, the shocking discovery I made that renowned costume designer Edith Head was the one behind the wardrobe of this film. This motion picture was done 5 years before her death, and one of the last productions she worked on. Clearly, with 500 screen credits, Edith liked to work, and was known to outfit Bette Davis on numerous occasions, particularly in one of my favorites, All About Eve.
The general atmosphere is very Macbethish. What has or is about to happen?
What is he talking about?
Macbeth.
We know you. We've seen you like this before. Is it over or is it just beginning? Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
As I'm sure you are aware, Faye Dunaway is still among the living. And a qualification to be on this program is that you are no longer breathing. For this reason, I chose to once again wake Bette Davis from her slumber and honor her as the corpse of interest in today's show. It also just seems right, given the trials and tribulations that Bette experienced on set while working with Hollywood starlet Faye Dunaway. But it should be made clear, Faye Dunaway is the preacher creature. Now, this episode actually makes for Bette's third appearance on the crypt, which I now feel deems us more than acquaintances. We are, in fact, friends.
Ghost Connection.
I dug up Miss Davis previously in episodes 12, featuring Another Man's Poison, and episode 32, featuring the film A Stolen Life. If you're interested to learn more about her, I highly encourage that you go back and listen to those episodes. But I am sure, without a doubt, that Bette will more than likely be back again in the future. As for today's film, I found the vibes of it to be much like the Tabernacle revival show that Amy was most famously known for. Instead of performing in a church or under a large circus tent, the viewer witnesses a lot of flimflam within the confines of a courtroom, complete with flashbacks. Much of the picture was filmed in Denver, Colorado, at a local courthouse and church, utilizing many of the locals as extras. Rather than providing payment for their work, they instead were given a boxed lunch. I suppose being in the presence of Hollywood stars was meant to make up for the lack of compensation. Speaking of stars, Anne Margaret was originally cast in the role of Sister Amy, but was replaced with Dunaway, which inevitably would be the cause for many ruined days on set for Bette. Davis was never shy going on the record, and in several interviews claimed to be absolutely disgusted with Faye's unprofessionalism while working on the film. Dunaway was said to consistently show up late to set, not being familiar with her lines. Bette was so fed up with her that while filming, she apparently moved her chair further away from Dunaway to avoid having to interact with her. When asked later in life about her sentiments of Faye, Bette most often referred to a specific day in which Dunaway kept the cast, crew, and extras waiting in excessive heat for hours. And remember, these were the same extras being paid with a sandwich. Here's a clip of Bette speaking to Johnny Carson about it in 1988.
So who's one of the worst people you know in Hollywood?
That I worked with?
or that you wouldn't want to work with again. If you don't, you don't have to comment on that.
$1 million, Faye Dunaway. Everybody you can put into this chair will tell you exactly the same thing.
What is it about Miss Dunaway that makes her...
Well, she's just totally impossible.
Really?
Yes. I don't think we have the time to go into all the reasons. She just, let's put it, she is just uncooperative.
She's not
good. Totally. Miss Dunaway is for Miss Dunaway. We did Amy Seville McPherson in Denver, Colorado, in a big, big tabernacle. I was Amy's mother. She was playing Amy, of course. So 5,000 people who are going to get box lunches come into the tabernacle. 20 minutes later, we are still all sitting there. Amy Semple has not appeared, Miss Dunaway at all. The audience was getting a little upset, as you can imagine. So I thought, well, you better do something. So I said, well, I think I'll entertain you for a while we wait. And I sang, I've written a letter to Daddy. And I sang the whole song for them, which helped a little bit. It helped. No, she truly, all seriously, is really.
Oh,
she's very unprofessional.
I see.
Difficult woman, really.
Well, you had a reputation at certain times of being kind of tough yourself.
Oh, no, I never had
really?
A reputation of that kind of thing. No, no, no.
Oh.
Never. No, no, no. I have never behaved in an unprofessional manner.
Right.
Ever. No. That includes keeping actors waiting, keeping crews waiting, all those things. No.
Yeah.
Never, never, never.
Well, you are a true professional. That's for sure.
Yes, that is really what she isn't.
No, she's not. Well, I guess we covered that pretty good.
Yes. Yes.
I love Betty so much. Never did she mince words. It is somewhat ironic now to think that years later, Dunaway would go on to play another of Betty's supposed rivals, Joan Crawford, in the film Mommy Dearest. But I do want to point out, Betty and Joan may not have gotten along, but never did she speak of Joan being unprofessional. But that, my creepies, is a story for another time. Quite possibly when Faye's time is up. Mwah. As for the disappearance of our preacher creature, Amy had been swimming on Venice Beach in California on May 18, 1926. Her secretary, who had accompanied her on this venture, suddenly was unable to find her. It was as if Sister Amy vanished right before her eyes. Poof, like a magic trick. Initially, it was suspected that she drowned. Of course, the tale eventually got taller and grew legs when it was reported by some that she succumbed to a sea monster after it was spotted off Venice Beach. But it was believed that this creature of the deep swallowed Amy whole.
Never before was science so determined. From the deeps of the Caribbean to the underwater jungles of the Everglades, they baited their trap and gambled their lives to put a daring dream to the test.
Gentlemen, the creature can be changed. We can make the giant step and bring a new species into existence.
Here was the grimmest cargo ever to reach civilization. Was this a new being created by a miracle of science?
The fire burned away the outer scale. There's a structure of human skin underneath it.
Or was this a beast made even more frightful by a mortal mind, more powerful by human emotion?
His gills may grow back.
Never. His features, his skin, they're more like a human's every day.
You know, this creature theory, I have to say, creepies, frankly, makes sense. Except for the whole swallowing Amy whole. I do believe someone spotted a creature that day, and that creature was a preacher named Amy. While she was erased from existence, her mother took over her duties and delivered sermons, raising funds for a memorial and keeping hope alive for her return, or even possibly a resurrection. You may recall from The Miracle Woman that Sister Amy was often known for her healing powers. So an idea of being resurrected, heck, even reincarnated, was actually a possibility for Amy.
Mother Kennedy would never go all to pieces. She's the one who holds things together. She said, I'll have to stand up and make the best of it. And instead of asking for comfort, she tried to comfort us.
Brothers and sisters here in the temple, and dear friends sitting at home beside your radios, we share a heavy burden tonight. As many of you may have heard, this afternoon while swimming at Ocean Park Beach, our beloved Amy, my cherished daughter, drowned. So far, all our desperate efforts to recover her body have failed. I know the word that's echoing in every heart. That word is why. She was such a powerful swimmer. I cannot believe she was drowned by any ordinary current or tide.
When Sister Amy reappeared 6 weeks later in Agua Prieta, a small town on the border of Mexico and Arizona, her life turned into a media frenzy. It did not take long for claims to start rolling in that the disappearance was nothing more than a theatrical stunt to cover up a sordid love affair with a married man. All the while, Amy profusely claimed that she had been kidnapped and that on the day she disappeared from the beach, she had been led astray by three strangers who said they needed her assistance with praying for a sick child. When she got to the vehicle, she claimed to have been chloroformed and taken to a secret hideaway.
For the wicked of the world, it is reason to rejoice. Many of you still grieve we could not recover Sister's body. I never thought we would recover her body. It was too precious to Jesus.
While she was reportedly missing, newspapers across the country ran with the story, while her followers held seaside vigils day and night. According to the film, two people even died while searching for her. It was believed by the Los Angeles district attorney that the stunt had been pulled as a hoax and a way to elicit funds from her parishioners. I particularly love when this moment was brought up in the court scene, and it showed a flashback of a laundry line that was held up in the row of pews so that followers could clip their money to it with a clothespin. What an ingenious way to grift.
In tribute to that glowing and undying presence, I know all of you are going to be especially generous in your donations and pledges to our memorial collection tonight. Sister gave all to you, her dear, dear people. I know that each one of you will always remember that.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood.
How much money was collected from the memorial tribute?
Something the film does that is interesting is that it doesn't take a particular side. Instead, it presents both theories about what happened to Amy, allowing the audience to make up their mind whether or not she was actually kidnapped, or if it was just a big hoax. In the end, Amy's case was dropped due to lack of evidence. With all the publicity and scandal, her reputation would never fully recover, and she would struggle to rebuild the trust with her followers. Not even her bombastic sermons could save her. On September 27th, 1944, she would die from an overdose of sleeping pills. Her followers believed it to be an accident and not suicide, as Sister Amy was a lifelong sufferer of insomnia. However, much like her disappearance back in 1926, no one is quite sure. One thing we can be sure of is that Sister Amy did manage to have a large impact in terms of the way in which religious gatherings were held, and is said to have paved the way for the creation of the modern televangelist. Even today, Sister Amy is still discussed and is the subject of many stories within film and television. If you haven't checked out shows such as Midnight Mass, I highly recommend it. It's not based on Sister Amy, but it does feature a preacher creature, and I feel that it had some influence from Amy. And then, of course, there is the television show that I mentioned previously in my episode of The Miracle Woman, HBO's Perry Mason, which I highly recommend checking out. Something else I stumbled upon was that in 1959, folk singer Pete Seeger wrote a song entitled The Ballad of Amy McPherson about that fateful day she disappeared, which I will play a snippet for you now.
For those who weren't here yesterday, I'll explain. It's about a famous lady evangelist who used to live back in the 1930s, and this was something that was in all the newspapers in those days. Oh, have you heard the story about Amy McPherson? Amy McPherson, that wonderful person. She weighed 180 and her hair was red. She preached a wicked sermon, so the papers all said, hidey, 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 hi, ho, de, ho, de, ho, de, ho. Oh, you have to help me out a little better. Hidey, 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 hi, ho, de, ho, de, ho, de, ho. Now, Amy built herself a radio station to broadcast her preaching to the nation. She found a man named Armistead who knew enough to run the radio while Amy did her stuff. Hidey, 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 hi, ho, de, ho, de, ho. Now, they had a camp meeting down at Ocean Park, preached from early morning till after dark. Said the benediction and they folded up the tents, then nobody knew where Amy went. Hidey, 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 ho, de, ho, de, ho.
I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to watch The Disappearance of Amy, you can do so on YouTube. I will post a link on my show notes page that I watched, which includes old commercials, as it was taped from television when it originally aired as part of NBC's Hallmark Hall of Fame on November 17, 1976. Amy may have been a preacher creature, but I have to say, goblins and ghouls, that she did manage to influence me, as I now feel compelled to achieve one of my most lofty goals yet. And as with most schools, they start with a dream. I envision a sanctuary made for cinephiles, a blessed space in which filmgoers of all ages could visit, pay their respects, and assemble for cinematic worship. Within the walls, patrons may gather to witness a miracle on the silver screen while enjoying a cup of damn fine coffee, the best treats, sweets, and elixirs. With the help of everyone's favorite friendly village doctor, Dr. Ashley Jane Carruthers. Oh, did you know she was a minister too? I hope to create a cinematic congregation that may come together to not just praise the love of motion pictures, but also offer opportunities to learn. Now, as with everything, we must start small, creepies, which is why this summer I will be introducing Sunday school services at local cinemas here in Philadelphia. Keep an eye on my social media and my newsletter, Sunday Matinee, for more information on how you can join me in living out my ultimate purpose in life and help spread the good word of motion pictures. Let's meet at Cinema Church. Mwah. My next episode is not yet determined, creepies. But don't worry, I shall return. Keep an eye on my Instagram, Blue Sky, and Sunday Matinee newsletter to find out when I am once again waltzing in the graveyard under the pale moonlight. I will post on my show notes page all the ways that you can follow me. Until then, don't be a stranger. I want to know what you think. Drop your favorite little gravedigger a line at cinematiccrypt@gmail.com. If you have a suggestion for the show or a corpse you want me to dig up, let me know. You can also reach me on Blue Sky and Instagram at cinematiccrypt or via postal mail. I will always write back and include a personalized epitaph, and I love pen pals. Write to me at Attention Movie John, and that's MOVIEJAWN, P.O. Box 20172, Philadelphia, PA 19145. Shout out to my Canadian film pal and fellow classic coroner, Dr. Ashley Jane Carruthers, for providing and creating a lot of the tunes you hear on this program. Also thanks to fellow movie genre, the Hollywood hunk, Hugo Marmuji, for the rad Cinematic Crypt logo. While I am on my brief hiatus, or should I say disappearance, you can find me writing on moviejohn.com or subscribe to our quarterly print movie publication at moviejohn.com/shop. Our spring 2025 issue's theme is Silence, Please, and we'll spotlight silent pictures as well as talkies that feature characters with minimal dialogue. You can also hear my soothing voice on Movie John's Patreon podcast, Intermission, a game show that tests our contestants' movie knowledge. I host the show periodically, and it is exclusively available to those that support Movie John at any tier level. Lastly, don't forget to follow my latest escapades outside the crypt and stay up to date on Sunday school services and cinema church by subscribing to my newsletter, Sunday Matinee, on Substack. I share the inside scoop with my readers each and every Sunday.
Tonight your mind completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes. But will you love me tomorrow?
It is now time to close the coffin. Here I leave you to rest with my latest epitaph. My tombstone quote, compliments of Mother Kennedy. I never thought we would recover her body. It was too precious for Jesus. A reminder that I truly am angelic, and when I do bite the dust, I most definitely will receive a golden ticket to heaven from the big man himself. Now, excuse me, creepies. I must go write a letter to Daddy. Goodbye, film pals.
I've written a letter to Daddy. His address is heaven above. I've written, dear Daddy, we miss you. and wish you were with us to love. Instead of a stamp, I put kisses. The postman said that's best to do. I've written a letter to Daddy saying I love you.
Greetings, goblins and ghouls. This is Danhausen. Very nice, very evil. This concludes our trip to the graveyard. Until next descent into the cinematic crypt, be sure to follow your illustrious spooky host, Bettina Belfry, or Belfry, whichever you may prefer, at Cinematic Crypt, so that you never miss a corpse. Yes, join us next time for another trip 6 feet under to pry open a coffin of Hollywood's past, or be cursed.